Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Yeah.
Sherry? Hello?
Hello?
There you are. All right.
Oh, I put the unmute and I wasn't muted, so thank you for finding me.
All right. Our call, our assignment from yesterday, if I could tell you what it meant, there would be no point in dancing it. We can almost feel conditioning's hackles rise at the mere suggestion that there is no point to life. How can that be? If there is no purpose, why live? Conditioned mind is a meaning-making machine, hence our preoccupation with causes, justification, explanations, rationalizations, outcomes, and postmortems. Through a conversation about life, this mental process captures our attention, creating an illusory reality that is lifeless. But anything that is life, beauty, music, laughter, tears, loving, learning, has no meaning. It simply is. To know what it is requires us to have a direct experience of it. Today, just dance, just laugh, just love, just play, just work. Have a direct experience of the meaninglessness of existence. Whew. Yeah, exactly. All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello,
hi, Jennifer.
Hey. I was just thinking about how conditioning immediately, every morning on Project Joy, tries to make meaning from the quote and from the assignment. So it was yesterday, it was trying to find the meaning of this quote.
Meaninglessness.
Yeah, the meaning of meaninglessness. And which is ironic, but then these things like beauty, music, laughter, tears, loving, learning. I thought, you know, when you're in love or you're doing music or you're laughing, there's nobody in there trying to figure out what it all means. You're just there having that experience. And
yes,
meaning is irrelevant.
Yes. Well, it's irrelevant, and just the way you laid it out there, it's so clear that it's in quotes, outside the experience.
Right.
Right? That we would need to leave one of those experiences in order to wonder what it means. So the person in quotes, wondering what it means, we code word ego, isn't a part of life. It isn't having that direct experience of life.
Yeah, it's if you do, it gives me another angle on, because I've heard you say a billion times how we leave the experience to go find something that we already have, and
yes,
boy, I can
that we left behind,
right,
in order
left
to
behind.
Right. Yeah, so there I am. We're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, then I leave to go find out what that means, because that's going to give me something.
Right? Right.
Why would I leave that? Because it's going to give me. Well, what is it going to give me? And
what
usually
you
ego.
Have.
That's right. What I just left. Well, you'll be happy. You'll feel good. You'll have what you want. Well, I just
right.
did.
Right. I can just, I'm in the experience of it right now where I can just see that if you're laughing and then you would have to stop laughing, leave
mm-hmm.
the premises, go ponder about laughing, that
yeah.
would not be it.
No. And if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody who does that kind of thing, it's unnerving.
Yeah. Right? Like, hey, where'd you go?
That and haven't you said that to people?
Oh,
whoa!
Yes.
Where did you go? And the person will often have a very confused look, right? Because they don't know where they went either.
Right,
somewhere else. Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was great. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer.
That's got it, didn't it?
Yep. Yep, exactly so. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Hello. Good morning. It's Monica.
Hello, Monica.
Hello. Hi. Well, I really just love the experience of hearing the quote on the show the next day because, well, for the past two mornings, it just having the experience of the quote read, it's a totally different experience of trying to, like, hearing it the day it's the assignment, and there's something about the day after when it just kind of lands in a different way.
So, Monica, might we say in that 24 hours, it's sort of become yours?
Yeah.
Not in an ego way, but in an integrated into your experience way.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way, but that we may say that.
Oh, good.
and that I was listening to a interview with John O'Donohue, and there's this poem, I guess he wrote around his mom, or for his mom, and it's something about, like, the beauty is there to support, so, like, when you're feeling down, may the earth support you, and may the beautiful colors, something like that. And I thought about that when Ashwini was reading the quote about, like, the reason is just to be present. Like, all of this is here as a supportive thing.
Oh, what a marvelous connection.
Yeah. It's a beautiful poem.
Ashwini could probably quote it for us. She's a big fan. So it's not that it's a meaning. We don't need to make it that's the reason for it, but we can realize that all this beauty and wonder that surrounds us, this magnificence, supports us in being here.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's a
really
marvelous, that's a marvelous connection between, it doesn't have to be, it's not like it's here to support us because we need to be supported because life is attempting to call us home. And so life has created all of this beauty so that,
right. It's not for us, but
our direct experience of it is it brings us home.
Right.
Wow,
yeah.
That's lovely.
Exactly. And that's all I have to say except for I'll see you next week.
Looking forward to it in a very present moment sort of a way, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Me too.
Right. Thanks, Monica.
Yeah, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Monica. I do know that poem. And I wish I could quote it for you.
I figured you did.
Long.
Yes. Yeah. He does go on, but he goes on in such a gorgeous way, we don't mind that he goes on.
Yes, and I think the essence of it so beautifully captures the quote and what Monica was pointing to, that it's almost as if what we are calls us home.
Yes. Yes. And
right.
We don't
whenever
have to believe
see,
that.
Yes. Yeah, we're not. That sense of separation is a recognition of that shift to orient, the call to shift the orientation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason I said we don't have to believe that is that that's where the meaning happens, right? Oh, well, yes, well, that's because of exactly what was being pointed out, all the causes and reasons and rationalizations, and that's all there. And so now that goes into the belief system, and that's what that means. And we're going to start a new religion based on that. And
Yeah. Well, and I think it's the crux of it, of the meaning, is to cause separation, right? Because
yes.
the beauty
yes.
is there for me allows the me to exist in relationship to the beauty rather than experiencing it as what it is, what
yes.
is me, or what animates
yes. rather, me. Rather than beauty experiencing beauty.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something you said about how yesterday about how we're so conditioned to subject and object, and it's the dropping of the process that divides that subject and object that allows us to have the direct experience of what is just for what is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mirror.
All right. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. Hello. All right. I guess we'll move on to our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Bev from Kentucky.
Hello, Bev.
Well, I have been practicing, as many other people say when they call in, not having an agenda before I speak. I've been trying to also do that in reflected listening. So the only thing I guess I can say is that I am just very thankful that this practice, this was my year of upping my game, and my last thing has been reflective listening buddies. And each step that I go into, I kind of feel like the scales have tipped and I am more present in my life during the day. Well, I mean, I know I am. I know I am. Than I was when I started. And I've been trying to get to this point for years in my practice where I am right now, where I feel like practice is my main focus of my whole day. So, and the only thing I can think that that's happened is I've been practicing more, you know, and I've been using the tools.
Yeah.
If they're used as explained, they work. So I'm just very thankful to be at that place today.
Well, and I'm thankful to hear you say that, because that is the, as we like might like to say, the Buddhist truth, right? That this practice is a how to end suffering. And if we do the steps in that process, we will end suffering. If there's a little reading that we do every day that this is going to sound a lot like. So if I don't end suffering, it's because I am not doing the things that end suffering. And that's all that's all there is to it. You know, there's no judgment, there's no blame, there's no anything about that. It's just that is what is so. And so give that little testimony makes me very, very happy, because Bev, it's encouraging for other people who are listening to voices saying, oh, this doesn't work, I can't do this, it's too hard, I gotta give up.
And the voices are they're there and they're constant. And I have really just tried to go back, you know, I think you said this earlier, that when I realize and I am not present, there are no buts. It's just like you just said. It's just stop and breathe and smile. And I do find if I just look around, especially to find things in nature, and I sometimes have to do that hundreds of times a day.
Yes.
I want to keep saying But and I have to just tell myself, there are no buts. It's just either you choose the light or you choose the dark. So it's been a great journey, and it makes me very excited for what's ahead. It hasn't been easy. I'm not saying this is a piece of cake, but it's
worth it
every time. Yes. Yep. So I really am excited about what's ahead. So thank you,
yes.
And I'm glad I got on today. And
me
I was
too.
Able to
and
speak
I,
without an, without making up an agenda before. So that
that's right, and it was fabulous. It was perfect. Let's just underline that.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, because I don't know if I've ever told you about my favorite Jesus picture, okay? And so there's a picture of Jesus, and it says next to it, I never said it was easy. I said it's worth it. And
isn't that our experience? I can never go back to the way I was. I just couldn't.
Nope.
It wouldn't be
tolerable. Nope.
I
don't want to
live in the world. So
right.
Again,
that's
Gosho,
right. Yeah.
And you all have a lovely day. Thank you.
You too, Bev. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bev. It is direct experience, right, Jerry? It's that place of don't believe what I say, find out for yourself.
Yes.
And we do
yes.
make that choice over and over again. I'm either here or I'm not here. And as we move towards making that choice, we see everything, see and see through everything that prevents us from doing that.
Yes. And, you know, when Deb said 100 times a day or hundreds of times a day or whatever, you have to come back from being snatched by conditioning. And everyone is a, oh, yes. If it were thousands of times a day, wouldn't that be a glorious way to live? In a constant,
yes.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Conditioning
oh, yes.
doesn't
thank
have
you.
A chance.
Oh, yes, thank you, because I'm coming back here.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Ego is in a world of trouble.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey,
Andrea.
Hi. Gosh, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of surprised to be on. So my mind's
well, see,
a little
you did
blank.
You did your part. You put yourself in the queue.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So then we can't really be too surprised when we say yes to life, that life says yes back.
Yeah, I guess. It's funny because I've been putting myself in the queue and I always had something rehearsed and I wouldn't get on. And then,
Don't you just love it?
Yeah, I think it's trying to tell me something or who knows.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess what's been coming up is just that I've been really identified for a couple days and just not feeling, it's like not wanting to be identified and I guess just getting through it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how did you approach it? So you knew you were identified.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you didn't want to be identified. And so how did you relate to it?
Oh, well, you know what? One thing I did yesterday was whenever I drive to work, I listen to the radio show, Open Air.
Mm-hmm.
And often I'll be listening and then I'll realize that my mind is off on a different tangent.
Channel.
And yeah. So one thing I did yesterday was I was listening and then there was a certain insight or point that I could really relate to on the show. Mm-hmm. So I paused the show. I turned it off and then I facilitated myself with that insight.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I kind of did the two chair exercise while I was driving. Though not sitting in a different chair,
not getting in the passenger seat and then back behind the wheel, but metaphorically And now let me ask you the big question. Did you record it?
Boy, that would have been a whole other level when I was driving.
Wouldn't it? Hmm. Yeah, you'd have to pull over and start that recorder.
Yeah, and also because it's the phone that's playing the radio show, I probably have to have another device so to do that.
Put that on your get list.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, so that's what I was doing. You know, I was basically, I think when I'm getting really stuck, what I do is I facilitate myself, and you know, I just talk through it, and then I reflect myself out loud.
Yes, and right. Now, again, if you add a recorder to that, it's going to be a powerhouse experience, because simply because it's going to add the element of you can also listen to that the next time you get stuck. But that process of facilitating yourself, which is like the two-handed recording exercise, the magic in that, and probably the reason that you did pop out of that identification, is you can't facilitate yourself and have all of your attention on that karmic story that's maintaining identification. So this is very good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I guess if I had recorded it, I would have heard myself facilitating myself. So there would have been a third awareness of that whole thing.
Exactly. Thank you for phrasing it that way. That is very clear for all of us. That's the opportunity that's available to us. And again, then you get into one of these identification places, and before you facilitate yourself, it'll drop in that, now I want to hear how much this is like that other time when I got so identified. And you listen to that recording of and then you see where you are now relative to that. Which is a huge kind of moving along the path.
Yeah, my guess is that I would probably see very similar processes in both of them.
That's right. Yeah. Which just expands the awareness, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Does.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
All
right.
These
quotes have been really great this week. I really like the ones about fear, and I really like the one last Friday. So that's one of my favorite quotes. So.
Well, and you know, Andrea, it kind of is parallel to what we're just talking about. So we start off with a quote, and then the next one follows it. So rather nicely, and it expands and deepens our experience, and then here comes the next one. And the next one drops into an expanded awareness, right? It's what we were just talking about earlier, right? That now there's an ability to see more, so it goes a little bit deeper. Then the next one comes into that environment. So our direct experience of what's happening is expanding and deepening awareness.
Yeah, and you know, I think some of those quotes I could work with for a whole week at least, you know.
Yes.
I could see myself doing that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's almost too fast, isn't it? We're on the fast track here of expanding and deepening.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, I just love it. You know, we always talk about directing the attention, but our awareness practice is expanding the awareness. And that's really
good point.
We're practicing. And and directing the attention to awareness, if we add that piece, then it really cements the trajectory of where our practice is going, and increasing awareness beyond egocentricity to awareness of all that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that drops in. Go ahead, sorry.
No. You go ahead.
Well, the thing that really struck me in your conversation with Andrea and the way she was working with it is that what we tend to do when we're identified is to try to make meaning out of it, right? To try to make sense of what's going on for me.
Uh-huh.
Why am I feeling this way? How is that different? But shifting the attention to listening to a recording or facilitating or anything else takes us out of meaning making and just drops
yeah.
us into an awareness of what it is, right? So that's the application of the quote, that instead
mm-hmm.
of being lost in a conversation that's attempting to fix something and make sense of it, we are dropping into just being here for a direct experience of how things are.
Yeah. Boy, that's a clear description of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so helpful to know that that's all we have to do is to redirect the attention away from the meaning process to awareness, which is a direct experience of how things are. And that's
yes.
awareness.
And, yeah, and the point that the very simple point I was going to make is many of us are having the experience of being, as we might say, high as little kites in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that
yeah.
is a sure sign that we're moving out of meaning and into direct experience, because there's just that whew of energy. If somebody said, now, what's going on with you? Why are you, I don't know. But what's actually going on is we're here and we're feeling the energy, the direct experience of the energy of life, rather than
mm-hmm.
being up in conditioned mind figuring stuff out.
Yep.
So it's a tangible, palpable difference.
It is. It is. Twinkling,
mm-hmm.
here we come. Sherry, we have
yeah.
time for one other caller, so I'm going to bring that caller
oh.
live.
Oh, great.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini, it's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hello,
hi,
Jen.
Hi. Oh, this has been really, really helpful for me today. I just feel... I feel like I've been on, like, I don't know, like the image that was dropping in is not super friendly, I suppose, but it was like I'm a punching bag, and it was just like, oh yeah, that, oh yeah, that, oh yeah, that. It was just kind of deflating this really conditioned place that I was in. So I just so
conditioning is the punching bag.
Conditioning is the punching bag. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I was really stuck in, you know, an old piece of karma around unrequited love, you know, is really up in the last couple weeks. And it just, the last few days, I've just found myself in a whirlwind, but there's, it's of meaning. Like they're just, it was just, I couldn't believe that all of these feelings in the body didn't mean something, you know?
Uh-huh.
It just felt so mm-hmm. real. But I knew, like, I had been consciously approaching this as, you know, an opportunity to burn off this karma, like just really not
yeah.
taking any of this personally and just saying, you know, all right, like this is a workshop. The next couple of weeks, I know this thing is coming and, you know, I'm going to see this person and, you know, let's deal with this as if it's a workshop. And it's been really helpful. It's been really, really
yeah.
helpful.
And Jen, the what you're saying is important for all of us, because this is what karma feels like.
Yeah.
This is what karma feels like. And these are the feelings, the sensations, the stories that keep ego alive. This is what
mm-hmm.
it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you're just automatically with that moved into that direct experience of karma rather than identification with karma.
Oh, that's an interesting way to think of it. Yeah, because I've been feeling like I can't be feeling like that. I'll know when I'm successful when I'm no longer feeling this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you can see that in a way that feeds it. Because
yeah.
as long as, yeah, it doesn't feed the karma so much as it feeds ego.
Yes,
so
I would.
Ego's ego's investment in keeping that karma active is you
mm-hmm.
will keep believing it. You'll keep falling for the story. It'll keep being the center of attention.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I've been practicing a lot with so much of what we've been doing here, what we're talking about on the call earlier, just about beauty and, you know, the things here in the present, which are so simple. You know, the other night I was just being overtaken by the feelings and the stories from conditioning, and I just stood in the doorway and I was saying out loud over and over to myself, like, what do you smell? What do you see? What do you hear? There's your feet on the floor. You know, there's the backpack in your hand. Like, you know, feel your legs. Like, just really just being here. And it was like a gorgeous night, you know. And I came back and realized I'm, like, missing this whole gorgeous night because I'm gone into this thing. And I don't want to be gone into that story.
Yeah. Because when we're not identified with it, we realize what an incredibly bogus story it is.
I know.
My favorite one with this is going back to the relationships that you had early in your life.
Where did this come from? Yes. Where did I start doing this? When did this start? Yeah.
Yes. Well, when did it start? And aren't you glad you are not currently committed to that first person you ever thought was the one?
That's true.
Or the second one? Or the third one? Right?
Yeah.
And when we look back like that and go, oh, well, gosh, you know, I mean, this is a great story about how this is the one, but that was also a great story about how that was the one. And
so it
can put us in that, well, we really don't know. We actually don't know what life is saving us from.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I also feel like I'm, along those lines, there's the sense that, you know, I'm watching this happen in a way that I've never been able to watch it happen before. And, you know, like you were just saying with the previous caller, it's like, you know, there's another layer. Like, you know, now that, you know, like every time you go back to it, there's another layer to see. There's a little more karma to burn. And I'm really, for the first time, have this sense. I haven't identified her particularly as a subpersonality or a part, but that there's just a person there that's, if I'm not going to intervene, she's going to go through the same process again. Trying to force this to happen and getting rejected and feeling the rejection. And, you know, like it's just like, oh, yeah, like someone needs to stop this. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I need to stop
that's right. We need an intervention, and I'm the one to do it.
And I'm the one.
Which is a wonderful description of ending suffering. Right?
Exactly.
We all need an intervention with karma, with ego, and we're the only ones who can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw a quote yesterday about how every time we end suffering, there's a micro relief. Mm. What you were talking about earlier. It's like if you have to do it 1,000 times a day, there's 1,000 moments of relief then in a day that you end suffering. You know?
Yes.
I love that phrase, micro relief.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So
thank you very much, Jen.
For Sangha, and
All right. Take good care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. You're such warriors, right, Carrie?
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Well, that brings us to the end of this wonderful show, Sherry, and here's our assignment from St. Francis. Your understandings are of misunderstandings. Once again, we come back to the first fold of the Eightfold Path, compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. The comprehension that dawns on us in a flash of insight is the awareness of delusion. We can see that when we're not in the process of knowing, we're closest to understanding what cannot be known. We realize that what we know and understand is really not helpful to living a life. Living requires presence, being here for what is in the moment. Today, notice what you think you know and understand. Drop that and be open to the information in the moment. Record and listen.
Wow. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
See everybody. Yes, tomorrow.
Take care, everyone. So happy.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Treasure yourselves.